You're welcome again to church. The title of today's sermon is Be Filled with the Spirit. Please, can you touch your neighbor? Tell them, say, be filled with the Spirit. Now ask them, which Spirit? Get the answer. Hallelujah. Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, we've been developing this message, and today we are going to greater depth. We spent the first two sessions defining what spirit we should all be filled with. And we've spent also the session defining why it's important to be thirsty for more of God. Because only those who are thirsty will be filled. Bible says blessed. Let's start from there. Matthew 5. Open Matthew 5. Adjust you to the Holy Spirit to lead us today. We will enjoy God. Hallelujah. Say, I will enjoy God. That is my destiny. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Let's have someone read it. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Just a moment. Yes.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So you see, that's the key. That's the key. I try to correct a lot of wrong mindsets. You know, a lot of Christian songs come up and say, you know, draw me closer to you, draw me nearer to you, move closer to me. God, why are you far away from me? God is not far away from you. He never changed his location. Hallelujah. He never changed what? His location is unchangeable and immovable. Hallelujah. The reason why you feel that God is far is because you are far. Hallelujah. Now, the key to express more of God is to seek. You see what Jesus was saying? He said, ask and you shall receive. It's a major key. I don't understand people. You are in a position where God is able to bless you, but you refuse to ask. He said, God knows your need. He knows. He knows. Absolutely, he knows. But he wants to hear you ask. You know why? Your asking is an expression of your faith. Hallelujah. We are saying this in our fellowship on Friday. There was a blind man that came to Jesus. Yeah? He came to Jesus. Jesus saw that he was blind. Jesus knew that he was, even before he came, Jesus already knew that he's a blind man. But when he came, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Hallelujah. Didn't Jesus know that he was blind? He said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. He not give us the key. No, and then before we go to the key, he said, knock and the door shall be opened. Now you will find out that asking, seeking and knocking are just various levels of asking. Hallelujah. There are some problems in your life. All you just need to do is ask. There are some other problems. You cannot just sit down on your so nice sofa at home and ask, keep asking. You need to step out and what? Seek. Hallelujah. It's like somebody say, oh no, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling lonely. Then you now stay home on Sunday. You will feel what? More lonely. Are you with me? It doesn't matter what business you're doing with God. It doesn't matter how much you're asking God. You got to seek. Hallelujah. That one, God cannot do it for you. Are you with me? God cannot do it for you. Everything you need in your life to move to the next level, God has already provided. The works are finished. The works are what? Are finished. There were two levels of finishing the work. In Genesis, the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. And for 6 days, he made everything. 6 days. 6 days of 24 hours. Because the Bible says, and the morning and the evening were the first day. Then on the seventh day, if you read your Bible in Genesis 2, he said, and God finished. Hallelujah. God what? Finished all the works. And he rested on the seventh day. Hallelujah. God what? Finished all the works. And rested on the seventh day. And that would have been the end of it. Because when God finished the work, before God finished the work, you know why God could rest, sister? You know why God could rest? Because God told man, God handed over, he said, have dominion. Be fruitful. Say to your neighbor, say, be fruitful. You know what it means to be fruitful? What it means to be fruitful is that you are living in your world and you are affecting lives for good. You are fruitful. Hallelujah. 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 Being fruitful means that if you were to check out of this life, heaven will weep that, oh, a soldier has departed. You are fruitful. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be fruitful. Be fruitful means not to come just like nobody came, but to come and touch lives. Hallelujah. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful. Influence your world for righteousness. Influence your world for the kingdom. Touch a life. Let God use you to save a soul. Let God use you to heal somebody. Let God use you to set somebody free from their bondage. Whatever that bondage is. That is fruitfulness. Hallelujah. And that's what you and I are called to be. That's your destiny. That's your original purpose in life. Your original purpose in life is not just to eat bread and drink fruit juice. Hallelujah. That's just to sustain you for your purpose. The purpose of the car is not just to drink fuel. You got to understand what I mean? The purpose of a car is not just to drink fuel. You know, like when you put fuel in your car. That's not the purpose of that car, is it? No. It's just something that will enable that car to fulfill its purpose. Hallelujah. If you keep filling your car with fuel and keep driving around the roundabouts of Basingstoke, you are still going nowhere. Are you with me? That car is not fulfilling its destiny. Hallelujah. But when you are fruitful, you are fulfilling your destiny. So when God created the world, the heavens and the earth, he handed over to man and said, you take over. Be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion. Be responsible. Take charge. And God rested from all his works. Then, man disobeyed. He went his own way. He followed his smartness rather than the wisdom of God. Yeah? Then God had to get up again. Yeah? Hello, are you with me? God had to go back to what? Business. Are you with me? And God was walking again through the years. 1,000 years went by. Adam died. Do you know how long Adam lived? Anybody tell me how long Adam lived? 930 years. Genesis 5. It's so many generations. But he died before that one millennial day of 1,000 years. Hallelujah. So actually spiritually he died that day, he sinned. But physically he died within 1,000 years. Which is a millennial day. Because one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. No man has ever lived more than 1,000 years. The oldest man that ever lived was is who? And how long did he live? Genesis 5. 969 years. Are you with me? God went back to business. 1,000 years went by. Yeah? 2,000 years went by. He called Abraham. Hallelujah. From Adam to Abraham. 2,000 years. He called Abraham. And he made a promise. God is still working. Say just say, God is working. You know, Jesus said this. He said, my father works. And I'm also working. That's why you cannot afford not to work. If you are not working, you are not fruitful. Now, don't misunderstand me. Working does not necessarily mean you are having a paid salary job. Working means that you are productive. Hallelujah. So, for example, imagine someone is an housewife. And all they ever did was just take care of the kids, take care of the house, and take care of the meals, and take care of, you know, all the localities. And let's assume that this housewife has an husband who goes out, you know, to do all the salary job. That man may make the big mistake of thinking that the woman is not working. But let them exchange roles for 1 week. The man will cry. Either that or the house will be totally upside down. Are you with me? So, working, when I say working, it doesn't necessarily mean salary job. It means that you are productive. You have to be productive. You have to be what? Productive. Please turn to your neighbor. Tell them. Say, your original purpose is to be productive. That is what it means to be fruitful. Hallelujah. When you are productive, you are affecting lives. Hallelujah. Even as a housewife, you are productive. Your husband, or as a house husband, whatever. Yeah, there are house husbands, you know. And I do some of it, you know. You are productive. The impact of your productivity is that there will be love and joy and peace. Hallelujah. When you are productive, other lives will experience love and joy and peace. Because you paid the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you are productive, your children, they will grow up in the knowledge of the Lord. But it doesn't happen automatically. Nothing happens what? Automatically. Except for rain. Rainfall and sunshine. You know rainfall and sunshine? Those are the mercies of God. Hallelujah. Those are what? The mercy. But we know that without the mercies of God, we all will have been consumed. Hallelujah. But in terms of productivity doesn't happen automatically. You have to yield yourself to be productive. Hallelujah. And so God went back to work. 4,000 years, God is still working. Jesus came on the scene. 4,000 years after Adam, Jesus came. Hallelujah. But there's something that happened at the very end of that 4,000 years. When my Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, he had turned his back, they had turned his front, they had pushed in a crown of thorns into his skull. Yeah? He buried. But he didn't bury it for himself because there was no sin in him. He bore it for you and me. He paid the full capital price of sin. Hallelujah. But there's something that happened on the cross. When he did it all, what did he say? It is finished. Did Jesus say, it is finished? You see, it is finished. God has done his part. That's why I went down that road. God has done his part. Hallelujah. So if there's something not working in your life, yeah, it's because you are not taking advantage of what God has already provided for you in Christ. Hallelujah. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. And so Jesus is telling you, he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why are they blessed? Because they will be filled. So I tell you something, the guarantee that you will not move forward spiritually, yeah, is for you to sit back and be doing your own thing. 10 years, you are still on that same point till Jesus comes. If all your ambition is, all I just want to do is squeeze through to make heaven. You know what it means to squeeze through? 10 years, you are still on the same level. You're not moving forward. You know why? Because you are not hungry and thirsting after righteousness. Now, you know my job as a pastor. That's the goal of all preaching. To stimulate you. Hallelujah. To be hungry. If you meet someone who is not hungry, yeah, it's a big problem. First day, eat. Sister Kemi, two, yeah? Baby, first day, eat his food. It's not hungry. Second day, third day, what will you do? A and E. They need what? A and E. You know what A and E will do for? A and E will find a way to stimulate their hunger. Hallelujah. That's the job of preaching. Hallelujah. You see, you may be surprised and say, why is that God saves people doing through preaching? Nothing happens in life except through preaching. You know the politicians? When they want to get you to vote for them, what do? They preach. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. You know, I made up my mind this year, I was almost not going to vote. Until I saw some pamphlets come to my door. I said, okay, now these people are serious. Hallelujah. There's anything in life that moves, it moves through. If you start a new company, you are selling the best car in town and you want people to buy it, what will you do? You keep quiet? Okay, now I've made the best car. Okay. What do you do? You get some nice PR agents. Yeah? To preach your message. We call it marketing. Are you with me? Let's go to John chapter 7. Hallelujah. Say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. And all the time. I know sometimes you don't understand why I say that. You see, your confession is your possession. Hallelujah. The world is a down world. Yeah? So, if things happen to you that you don't like, and you sit back and just unhappy, you whine, that doesn't necessarily change your situation. Life is, the day, since the day Adam fell, life became broken. Are you with me? So, that fact will not help you. Hallelujah. If you want to rise above the brokenness of life, it doesn't matter what you have been through. You know why? Isaiah 43. He said, behold, I do a new thing. Hallelujah. You know when Jesus was on the cross? He looked at John the apostle. He said, he looked at Mary. He was dying. He said, mother, behold your son. And son, behold your mother. You know, I got thinking. I just got thinking about it. Could it be? Go and do your own work. Okay, I don't know the answer. But could it be that John at that point had lost his mother? And Mary was about losing her son. So, even on the cross, Jesus met the need of two people. He said, son, I give you a new mother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there are some things in your life you feel you've lost. Don't hold on to them. Because God is doing a new thing. Don't belong to the yesteryears. They are gone. Are you with me? John, behold your mother. I give you your mother. And Mary, don't keep weeping that I'm dying. Behold your son. You know what John did? Paul said, from that day, he took Mary into his own house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how God works. Hallelujah. That's how God works. You might have lost something, but God will replace it. But I tell you something, he will not replace it with the same thing. It will replace it with a different thing that is better. Hallelujah. That just came out of my spirit. I don't know where I got that from. Hallelujah. And so they were both looking at him, Mary and John. He told them something. He said, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Now that statement belongs to everybody. But look at John and Mary. He has given them what they have lost and say, I make all things new. Hallelujah. God wants to make all things new in your life. If only you will allow him by opening up your heart, letting go of the past, and cooperating what with God is doing. Have you ever wondered that when God, Moses, yeah? He saw God, you know, as a burning bush. And God called and he said, look, go to the Israelites. I want to deliver them. I said, okay. Moses said, okay, I've seen you. I know you turned my staff into a snake. I know. I know that the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. I know. I know that I've seen my feet change. I know. But when I get to these people, how do I introduce you? I think you don't understand. You see, in Egypt, there were many gods. There was the God of fertility, the God of prosperity, the God of healing, the God of, even there was the God of what do you call it, death. They had all types of gods in Egypt. So these Israelites, they lived in Egypt. And when you live in Egypt, if you are not careful, you will pick up the Egyptian culture into your soul. You will start thinking like Egypt thinks. You start reasoning like Egypt reasons. Why? Because you are living in Egypt. But I tell you something. The fact that you are living in Egypt is not an excuse. Because the Bible says, he said, you are of the world, you are in this world, but you are not of this world. Please say to yourself, I say your name. I'm not of this world. I am a citizen of heaven. I'm on assignment in this world. The goal of my assignment is to bring glory to God and blessing to God's people and to advance the kingdom. That's why God left you here. You think it was so difficult for God to kill you and take you straight to heaven? It's easy. If you want to experience heaven now, it's so easy for God. He'll not do anything. He'll just say, okay, heaven, why did he leave you here in this broken world? Knowing all the challenges you will go through. It's because you are here, yeah, to cooperate with God and partner with God and bring forth his glory in this world to the shame of the devil. Hallelujah. Sometimes the devil has kicked you back and forth, and he thinks that, yeah, she's finished now. You know, the devil is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at the same time. God is omnipresent. Hallelujah. God is omnipresent. You know why God is omnipresent? Do you know, Brother Sin, do you know why God is omnipresent? Because God does not live in 3D. We live in 3D plus time. So actually we live in 4D. 3D, length, breadth, height, or depth, plus time. 4D. God does not live in 4D. God lives in infinite D. He's everywhere, at every time, all powerful, all able. Hallelujah. Now, every time God wants to reach out to you, he has to slow down to your level. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes you can't comprehend God, because it's in infinite D. Yeah? When Jesus was going to come in, he had to slow down to their level. But when he rose up from the dead, you saw? Bible said he will just appear and what? Disappear. You know why he was able to appear and disappear? He's moving at the speed of light. Hallelujah. Every time, for you to see Jesus, the resurrection, he has to slow down to your level. Hallelujah. But the devil is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. You know, but let me tell you how the devil works. The devil has a network. Everybody say network. He has a network of devils, demons, fallen angels. Yeah? Hallelujah. So what they do is if they want to get into your life, they will focus on you for the time they have and try to give you maximum attack. Yeah? Give you from left, right, center, up, down. And continue to push it at you until they live in the state where they say, yes, she is now finished. Then they will leave you and go to the next person. Are you with me? But what God does is, even when the devil thinks you are finished, he said, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. That's God. And that's how the devil is put to shame. Hallelujah. From nothing. Paul, it was Saul. The devil used him to kill Christians, persecute Christians. Finished his destiny. Finished him. And when he was on his way to persecute more Christians, God arrested him and used him to write more than half of the New Testament. Hallelujah. 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 I said, when the devil says your life is finished, God says, I'm just starting my business. But the only way it can work is for you to open up your heart and yield to God. You have to yield. You have to understand it. Don't sit back and say, oh God, please, it's only you, only. No. That's the wrong approach. The right approach is to accept that God is ready for you. Accept that God is near to you. Your job now is to reach out to him. Hallelujah. God will never put the grapes of blessing in your mouth. But he will provide them on the tree beside you. Your job is to reach out and pluck those grapes. Hallelujah. It is God's job to provide you the resources that you need to break through. You can't do it. If you're in trouble or in a big mess, you can't help yourself. Yeah? God will provide all the things you need, but he will not provide them right, you know, on your nose. He will put them around you. That's his job. Hallelujah. You can't do that. That's his job. And he does that by his mercy and his grace. Hallelujah. Your job is to reach out in faith. Yeah? And take advantage of what God has provided for you. Now, for you to do that, you need wisdom. Hallelujah. You need wisdom. Sometimes the solution to your problem or what you need is right beside you, but you can't see it. You are seeing it with your physical eye, but you are despising it as nothing. Hallelujah. Hello. Say to yourself, say, God is good. And his mercy endures forever. You know, I like to serve that about God. He's dependable. He's reliable. I don't serve a God that says, oh, we don't know what he will do. He will just do as he likes. No. My God does not do just as he likes. I know exactly what God will do. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Psalm 119, verse 89. He said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Bible now says, let me now teach you how you can be wise. Now see that the wise man, Jesus gave a parable between the wise and the foolish. He said the wise man, he built his house on the rock. And then, when? He didn't say if, he said what? When. Because, you know, you don't know the future. Even myself, I don't know the exact details of the future. The only thing I know about the future is that my future is in his hands. He said when the storms come, and the winds and the waves, I'm going to say, he said, and they will blow on that house. You know that house is your life. That house is your life. And who is building? You. You are building your life. But if you build it on the rock, when the storms come and the winds and the wind and they blow, because they will come, they may not take the same shape or the same form. We don't know exactly how they will come, but when they blow, he said, that house will remain standing. You know why? Because it was built on a rock. He said the foolish man is that man that built his house on the sand. Now the question you need to ask yourself is, why will somebody build their house on the sand? Have you thought about it? Why? I'll tell you the reason. It's much easier to build your house on the sand than on the rock. Initially. Because you use minimum effort. No foundation. No digging and drilling into the rock. Yeah, you just start your business quick. You don't need to do all these things, are not that important. We don't need to do more. Let's just start building. What matters is that we build. Hallelujah. And initially it looks like, yeah, you are smart. Oh, look. That master is already up to third level. The other one is still digging foundation. Are you with me? When the winds come and the waves and the storm, you will know the difference between wisdom and what? Smartness. Because you understand, foolishness does not mean stupidity. You can be smart and yet foolish. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, it means that I need to build my life on the Word of God. How do I build my life on the Word of God? I must continue to take it in. Whether it's through my personal Bible reading, or coming to church on Sunday, like now you are taking the Word of God in, hallelujah, or through fellowship, or through prayer, or through listening to sermons. Many of our sermons in church, they are online. You know, we have sermons like 2 years. There's probably a topic that applies to whatever you're going to right now. If only you'll be wise enough to go back and listen. Because God cannot do that one for you. You see what I mean? It's you that we ask. It's you that we seek. And it's you that we knock. The Bible says, everyone. I don't know, because you know Jesus will not lie. You know Jesus cannot lie. So Jesus is saying everyone. I didn't say it. Let's look at it. Matthew 5. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. You see, because when you hear the words of God, you'll be wise to pay attention. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Yes, let's have someone read it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Okay, someone who has not read it. Okay, Sister Pamela. Yeah. Matthew 7, verse 7.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you.
Yes, continue, please.
Okay, verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened.
Are you with me? Now, if you are reading a red letter Bible, then those words will be in red. Say to your neighbor, say, it's red for a reason. You know, when I read the Bible, I take everything I read seriously because I know that God is speaking. But when I read the words of Jesus, I want to pay some special attention. I will explain to you. You know, I told you that God dwells in infinite D. Yeah? But when Jesus came to the world, God constrained himself. God constrained himself in a human body. You got it? Now that changes something. It means that the Bible says we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses. Because when he was in that body, he was tempted in all points like we are. That means that Jesus experienced every temptation you've ever gone through. He may not have experienced it the same way, but he experienced that type of temptation. He experienced what it means to feel the lust of the eyes, or the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. He experienced it. He experienced what it meant to be abandoned, betrayed, forsaken. He experienced it. Are you with me? He experienced what it meant to be hungry and even needy. Remember when the tax collectors came to the disciples of Jesus and said, Lord, you know, they are disturbing. I mean, disciples came to you and said, the tax collectors are disturbing us, you know, for tax money. What did Jesus do? Did he open his wallet and give them? Okay, don't worry, just go to my wallet, you know. Open it. We don't know, even by that time, maybe Judas has finished all their service. You know, Judas was a thief. Maybe they checked their treasury and found nothing. Say, Lord, there is nothing in the account. Jesus said, go to the river. Catch a fish. Hallelujah. He was showing a new level, a new dimension. I'm not just Lord of the world you can see on land. Go. The first fish you catch, slice it up. That is fish for somebody's evening meal. Yeah, you with me? And you will find that tax money you need in it. Hallelujah. And go and pay it. But he experienced all what we went through. So when he's talking, you have to pay extra attention. Because he's talking to you at your level, you'll be able to understand. He said, everyone who asks, receives. What does that mean to me? That means that if I'm asking, I'm not receiving. Yeah? You know what I would like to do? That means that probably I didn't need to be asking. Maybe I need to change my gear to seeking. Are you with me? Let's get that again. The Holy Spirit is speaking something to somebody this day. Because my message is almost, you know, I've not done anything in that message right now, but the Holy Spirit is speaking. He said, everyone who asks receives. Are you with me? So if I have been asking 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, I'm still asking, not receiving. Yeah? There is something wrong with my asking. It's not something wrong with God. If you can just set in your head that nothing can ever be wrong with God. So the issue of blaming God is nonsense. Not necessarily nonsense, it means it's not, it makes, it's no sense. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because God cannot be wrong. He said, God is not a man that he should lie. It's not in his nature. Do you understand? That's why some days ago, when I was just having a joking chat with my wife, and we're joking and joking, and I told her something, I reminded her something, you know, maybe she said or something, or I said, and she's like, oh, no, you're lying, you're lying. Okay, I said another thing. Oh, no. I said, you know what? I know you're joking, but I'm not trying to be too serious, but it offends me because lying is not part of my life. I don't want to play with it. Are you with me? Because if you are a liar, your faith will not work. You know why? Because your words are not dependable. Yeah? How will you be able to withdraw from the dependability of God? If when you are not faithful, how will you be able to understand and connect with the faithfulness of God? Hallelujah. 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 God's word is truth. So I must be true. When I'm true, then I speak. My word is law. Because there's no lie in me. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I don't want to play with it. I don't want to play with lying. So because if I play with lying, maybe the day I need to command the devil, he will think I'm joking. If I'm always joking, the devil may think I'm what? I'm not telling you to be too serious. Okay? There's room for comedy and laughter. It's good medicine. Are you with me? But don't be a liar. Please talk to your neighbor. Tell them, see, lying should never be a part of your life. It degrades you. Hallelujah. You are called to a higher level than that. Are you with me? Sometimes you feel that you will not succeed if you don't lie. But what I want to tell you is this. You need to raise your faith and trust God. Hallelujah. You see, when you are doing that, initially, it may look like you are losing. You see, God never guaranteed you and say, oh, the moment you ask, the next moment you receive. Everybody will be asking. He said, oh, the day you just start following me, the next day you will be living in the 10-bedroom mansion. God never said that. There's a time of perseverance. Hallelujah. There's a time of, you know, digging into that rock to lay your foundation. Hallelujah. But when that house is built on the rock, it will be strong and stable. Everybody say strong and stable. I'm not talking about Teresa, baby. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus. When you build your life on the word, when you build your life on truth, you will be strong and what? Stable. You know why? Because the power holding your life is beyond this world. Hallelujah. It means that the factors of this world cannot compromise you because you've not built on them. Hallelujah. You've not what? Built on them. Even if the economy changes, if you build your life on the rock, the economy will not change your prosperity because it's not built on the economy. You build on Jesus, the rock. Hallelujah. And that's why when we talk about tithing, you see, because tithing helps you to operate the economy of God, not the economy of the world. So if the economy of the world changes, you know, maybe they are downsizing people in your workplace, or, you know, they are changing, or even you lose a job. Yeah? That's not the end of your life, because you did not build your life on the economy of the world. When you are in partnership with God, something else is holding your life. So when one door closes against you, I tell you something, the hand that made the world will open another door for you. Hallelujah. There is nothing you need in this life that God cannot provide for. Hallelujah. If you need a husband, there are many husbands out there that are also praying that, Lord, I need a good and godly wife. Yet your husband may be in New Zealand, but he has been praying and said, Lord, he might even describe to God exactly how you look. He doesn't know. He just say, oh, this type of wife I want her to wear blue on Sunday. That's just a joke. Hallelujah. He's there. He's provided for. He's there. Hallelujah. So what means that? It means that if I need a husband, what I just need is I need to stay in my active fellowship, actively connected to God. He will connect me to somebody who will connect me to somebody who will connect me to somebody who will connect me to New Zealand. Hallelujah. He can do it that way. Another way he can do it is he can even relocate the man from New Zealand to Basingstoke. I was talking to someone last week, you know, American. Yeah? And then, one way or the other, they just told him, okay, you know what? We just want you to go and do a contract in Basingstoke. He has no relative, no link, nothing. He's enjoying his life in America. We're just going to give you 6 months contract in Basingstoke. After that, you can go back. Yeah? That was 20 years ago. So he came. After 6 months, he's preparing to go back. But you know what? They gave him a company car. And they gave him a free house. Then they told him, you know what? We want you to stay a bit longer. 20 years! He's still where? Hallelujah. Say, just say, with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Look, I'm aiming to round up in 5 minutes. So let's go to John 7. Let me link up everything I said to being filled with the Spirit. There's something I want to show you there, and then we'll round up them. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Let's read verse 37 to verse 39, which is what we read for the Bible reading. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. So that lovely, blessed person that will read this last reading. Sister Pamela, you read already. That doesn't mean you are not lovely, blessed. You are. Hallelujah. Okay, Brother Tim, you have been volunteered by the most important human being to you on the earth.
In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Amen.
Said the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's start from that last part. You can see that a simple basic reason why you are not filled with the Spirit of God as you would like to is because you are not living for God's glory. Let's rewind that. A simple basic reason. You may be speaking in tongues. Don't misunderstand me. I will explain that to you. A simple basic reason why you are not constantly filled with the Spirit of God as you would like is because you are not living for God's glory. You are living for your selfish reasons. And that degrades the Spirit in you. Hallelujah. Last week we talked about false altars. They degrade the Spirit. Are you with me? Now, he said, he that believes out of his belly, which is the innermost being. You know, I tried to explain something. I said, why is your belly the innermost being? He said, when you want to hide the most precious thing to you, yeah, your baby, where do you hide it? That's your innermost being. Are you with me? That's where your spirit is. I know you thought it's here. No, it's here. Yeah, your guts. Yeah, that's where your spirit, your innermost being. Hallelujah. He said, out of your innermost being will flow forth rivers of living water. So let me ask you a question in as round up. The question is this. Why is it important to be filled with the Spirit? What's the most important reason why you need to be filled with the Spirit? And the answer is in the Bible. It's in Acts, actually. I'm giving you the best clue. The answer is in Acts. It's very simple. The fundamental reason why every believer needs to be filled with the Spirit. Why? Yes?
From my experience, I would say for guidance.
For guidance, yes.
To be able to discern, really.
Yes, but that's not the perfect answer. The perfect answer is in Acts. In fact, if you are going to get the perfect answer, you're most likely quoting from Acts. Yes, let's give. You didn't want another go? No. Okay, we continue. We just have three answers. Yes, Sister Kemi? What is the most fundamental reason why you need to be filled with the Spirit?
Be witnesses.
To be witnesses, yes and no. You didn't hit the nail on the head, but you are close. Yes? Okay, that's the last one. Sister Claudia.
When Jesus was with the disciples, he said, when he will leave, he will bring the Spirit so that he will show them all truth. And
yes, he will show you all truth, yes, but that's not the fundamental reason. Thank you, Martin, thank you. That's extra blessing for you. Open to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I'm running up on that note, and we continue next time. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I want to explain something to you that you probably misunderstood today, and we just finished there. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Yes? Can we read together as church? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. If you are there, say, I have it. Okay, not everyone is there. Let's do it again. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. If you are there, say, I have it. Okay, let's read together. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So let me define for you the reason. If you want to write down, write down. The most fundamental reason why you need to be filled with the Spirit, and it's not a one-time thing, you need to be continuously filled with the Spirit, is that is what enables, that's what gives you power to function like Jesus. Hallelujah. If you want, as a Christian, to be able to function like Jesus, yeah? That people see that, now it's like exactly like Jesus. You need to be filled with the Spirit. I tell you something, in my own human strength, I cannot do all the things I'm doing. I just can't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can, in my human strength, I can preach to you from the Bible, but I will not, it's going to be totally different. If you want to live a life that is powerful, victorious, impactful, vital, transforming, you need to be continuously filled with the Spirit. And it's not a one-time thing, it's a continuous thing. And we said before that for you to be continuously filled, you need to continuously drink of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm rounding up now. Let me explain to you. We say this next, a peep into the next message. When you are born again, you receive the Spirit of God. Yeah, because if you are born again, you have the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But that's the first experience. But that's not being filled. Hallelujah. It's not being filled. Now, when you are filled with the Spirit, that is, you come under the strong influence. You are under the influence of the Spirit. It becomes easier to do the will of God. It becomes easier, yeah, to walk with God when you are filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, as we understand from the Bible, and I will show that next time, when people are filled with the Spirit, they speak in tongues. Yeah? But I want to understand that speaking in tongues is not the same thing as being filled with the Spirit. It's a sign. It's a what? Sign. Let me explain speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues gives you opportunity to release your faith. To drink of the Spirit. I was speaking in tongues. That's why if you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues, and you never did anything about it, you are just being foolish. You are wasting your time. When you speak in tongues, that is how you release your faith to drink of the Spirit. And you cannot be filled with the Spirit except you do what? Drink of the Spirit. So when you speak in tongues, you are able to, it helps you to release your faith to drink of the Spirit. Hallelujah. But to be filled with the Spirit in its most fundamental definition is to be under the influence of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, when you're under the influence of the Spirit, you will live a powerful life. Hallelujah. You will live a powerful life. You are energized. You are empowered. You are intoxicated with the life of God. And that's what we need if we are going to be victorious in this world. The world is a down world. You need more of the Spirit. And I tell you something, to have more of the Spirit, you have to continue to drink of the Spirit, one. And secondly, you have to continue to yield to the Spirit. You may drink of the Spirit, speaking down all day, and never yield to the Spirit. When you finish speaking, does the Holy Spirit say, oh, go there. It's like, priority, Holy Spirit, I've tried. You have to yield. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you, it tells me every day, you've had a dispute with somebody you love, anybody actually, your family member, your dad, your wife, anybody. Then the Holy Spirit just tell you, say sorry. Meanwhile, you believe that you are on your right. It takes the Spirit to say sorry. Now, you can't do it without yielding. Your flesh will resist it and feel like dying, but you just ignore the flesh. Thank God, even nowadays, we have the power to text. You can say sorry with a text, you know? You can also cause trouble with a text. Please, don't cause trouble with your text. Yeah? Do things that are good with your text. Let's pray. I believe that God has spoken to you. God has fed you. When I preach, my goal is not just to give you a sermon. I want to feed you spiritually. I want to, through the Holy Spirit, release something that will change your life. Yes, my mission is to change you. But it's not my mission. It's the mission of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to remain the same. I myself don't want to remain the same. I want to grow. There are greater things in God. There are depths and heights in the Spirit that God has already allocated to you. If only you will yield. If only you will drink. If only you will open your hands. If only you will ask. If only you will seek. If only you will knock. If only you will hunger and thirst for this righteousness. Bible says, you shall be filled. So my prayer today, your prayer today is, begin to talk to God and say, Father God, I desire more of your Spirit. I want to be continually filled with the Spirit. I want to live a life where I'm asking, seeking and knocking. I'm testing for righteousness and I'm yielding myself. Because it's not enough to keep asking. When you ask, God will release it. But are you going to yield yourself? Are you going to open your heart and let God do what he wants to do in your life? Or are you going to ask and then when God does it, you resist it? So pray to say, Father, I open myself to you. I open myself. I receive your Spirit. I receive your Holy Spirit. I receive your Holy Spirit in the fullness. In the fullness, I yield and hand over my control of my life to the Holy Spirit. I begin to yield myself to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. To yield to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I submit myself to you. That is the pathway. You yield, you drink. You yield, you drink. You yield, you drink. You yield, you drink. You continually yield and drink. That is how to walk in the Spirit. That is how to be filled with the Spirit. Talk to God today and yield yourself to Him. Hallelujah.
Rise up. I just go. Mission.
Christ attention to it. All I give is time, but just say, I give myself to you. Address it to the Lord. So I give myself to you. I give myself to you. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me. I drink of you. I yield to you. Fill me, Holy Spirit. I drink of you. And I yield to you. One more time. Fill me, Holy Spirit. I drink of you. And I yield to you.